This week's parsha is Parshas Bahar. And of course, the first mitzvah in Parshas Bahar is what? Shemitah. And Rashi, already at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, raises the question, which is so famous, we know it in our sleep. It says, Bahar Sinai, referring to what? To Shemitah. Says Rashi, Ma inyan Shemitah, it's our Sinai. And we're going to try to see that the Ramban is not so happy with Rashi's answer. Rashi gives a very technical answer. He says, Halokoa mitzvahs nemru mi Sinai. So what's the special connection between Shemitah and Sinai? And Rashi's answer is, Ma Shemitah nemru kloloseho protoseho vidigdukeho mi Sinai. Af kulam nemru kloloseho vidigdukehen mi Sinai. But Rashi really, in a sense, begs the question. You know, the Torah theoretically could have used any mitzvah to teach me that just like this mitzvah, whatever it might be, was given at Har Sinai, so to all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. Why is Shemitah the paradigm for all the other mitzvahs? And specifically related to Har Sinai. So what we're going to try to do tonight, with the help of many different sources, is try to construct a unique definition of Shemitah and what the message of Shemitah is and see how that relates to Har Sinai. And therefore, Shemitah becomes the paradigm of Har Sinai for all other mitzvahs. Okay, that's what we want to do. First, we're going to begin with the Ramban on the Pasuk in the same Perek, but not Chaf Hei, which is the opening Perek in this week's Parsha. Not Pasuk Aleph, but Pasuk Chaf. Let's even go back to Pasuk Yud Tes. And listen carefully. It says, "V'nosna ha'aretz piriya v'achaltem la'sova v'yishavtem la'vetach aleha." And what is this pasuk? What's the subject of this pasuk? When the Torah promises, "V'nosna ha'aretz piriya v'yishavtem la'vetach," etc. Are these brachos? Yes, these are brachos. But brachos for what?
Yishuv aretz.
Well, not exactly yishuv aretz, but for, probably for observing the laws of what? Of Shemitah. Look at the next pasuk. V'chi somru. Right, whenever you see a v'chi tema in Tosfos, you know he's introducing what?
Akasha.
So the Torah itself asks Akasha. It's very interesting. Akasha and Terah, it's in the Torah. V'chi somru. You'll ask the Akasha, Ma nomar bashon ha-shviyas, hein lo nizra. On the seventh year we're enjoined from planting, from plowing, from harvesting. What are we left with at the end of the seventh year? Nothing. L'chora, right? That's the kasha, that's the havavid. And Yeshlomar, what's the Yeshlomar? V'tzivisi esperchasi. God says, I will command my blessing. Bashana hashishis. Okay, in the sixth year you can have your blessing. The asos es hatvua l'shaloshanim, and she will produce the grains for 3 years. Now, what year are we up to now? Again, v'tzivisi esperchasi lachem bashana hashishis. So now we're going to have 3 years worth of produce in the sixth year. Correct? So we have enough produce in the sixth year to last for what? Seventh year and the eighth year. So the Ramban says, and you'll see this as the first source on your page, Kavanas HaKosev, what the Torah wants to convey here is that in the seventh year, when the people will ask the question, as we said, V'im Tomar, Manomar b'shana hashminis, manochal b'shana hashminis, right? Because after all, we have this, the harvest of the sixth year will supply us for the seventh year, but we don't have a harvest in the seventh year, then we have nothing for the eighth year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that we'll have produce not only for the seventh year, but also for the eighth year. Then the Ramban asks, but why do we need produce for three full years? We're missing 1 year, correct? So we need produce for 2 years. Why does the Torah promise us produce for 3 years? And what's the Ramban's answer? It's only going to apply once every seven cycles of seven. They have the Yovel. So now the same prohibitions that apply to Shemitah apply to Yovel. So we're left with two consecutive years, the seventh year and the eighth year at the end. We'll call it the 49th year and the 50th year in this case, where we're enjoined from any sort of avodas karka, any sort of agricultural work. So now we need 1 year of produce, in this case the sixth year, to produce not only for the sixth year, but also for the seventh year, not only for the seventh year, but also for the eighth year, because the eighth year is Yovel, and during Yovel we can't. That's the Rambam.
So the Pasuk's talking about the once in the 50 years? That's what the Pasuk is.
Correct.
The Pasuk that's referring to.
Because it's a Kal V'chomer. In other words, well, what's your first name? I forget.
Shmuley.
The Torah is asking in a Kal V'chomer. If the Torah's promise is that the produce of the sixth year could be worth 3 years of produce, and that's to cover the Shmit, the Yovel case, then Kol Shekein, with a Kal V'chomer I could derive, that in the normal Shemitah cycle, right, the first six out of seven Shemitah cycles, then the sixth year will produce for how many years? For 2 years, correct? You'll have for the sixth and the seventh year. The eighth year you're covered, because the eighth year you're working the land and harvesting the land. You got me, Shmuley? So the Torah wants to even tell you, this is what we call Yesh B'Klal Masayim Manu, you know, 200 includes 100. If the Torah is promising you that in the Yovel case, where you'll have a need for to cover 2 extra years without harvesting, etc., etc., and yet the Shishis will have the capacity to produce for the Shishis, Shvius, and Shminis, how much more so in a regular Shemitah cycle, where I only need the Shishis to produce for Shishis and Shvius, only for 2 years, certainly you have the Avtah.
Where do we know that it's only for 2 years? It could also be for 3 years in a regular Shemitah cycle.
But why would you need that third year? The eighth year you're working the land.
We need it, but the Pasuk says it has to.
Ah, okay. But then it's not a teretz to the kasha, because the kasha was manochal, right?
Well, it's telling you that this is a haftacha that you're going to have.
Even more than what you need for manochal. You know, an extra. Okay.
Like, don't worry about it.
But I guess your question is an excellent question, but I think that the pshuto shel mikra is that the haftacha is meant to calm down the nervous tension that's generated by what? By Shemitah. And in this case, we got to cover an extra year. So the Shishis should cover not only Shishis, but Shvius. So the produce of Shishis will be double. Why does the, under what circumstances does the Daiga V'chiyomar, you know, when you ask this question, will it lead you to a need for not 1 extra year of produce, but 2 extra years? So that the sixth year will produce enough for what? For 3 years? That's in the case of Shemitah / Yovel, meaning Shemitah next Yovel.
But if you're working the land in the 8th year, you don't have food for the 8th year, will you?
Well, that's an interesting question. The assumption is that there's a certain agricultural system built into the annual season which provides the needs for that year. Every year is viewed as a, you know, as an entity unto itself. But Rabosai, what's the kasha that we have to ask on the Ramban? Which is really, according to the Ramban, a kasha on the kasha, right? Because the kasha is v'chisomru manochal Bashana Hashvius. Says the Ramban, when are we asking this question? Look at the Ramban's language. He says, Bashana Hashvius, Yomru Manochal, Bashana Shminis. Anybody have a question?
That only by Yoga.
No, but I'm asking. Let's assume that already you're anticipating the problem, correct? But when are you asking the question?
You've already received the bracha.
You've already received the bracha, because according to Rabban, when was the bracha? On the shishis. The sixth year has already produced enough grains to last you 6, 7, and 8. So why on the sixth year are you asking manochal? The whole question manochal makes no sense, because Ramban's saying that God commands his blessing already on the sixth year. So you've got your silos filled on your sixth year to last you for the seventh and the eighth, for Shemitah and Yovel. So why are you asking manochal? And the one who asks this question, to my knowledge, is the first, although many Mefarshim ask this question on the Ramban, is the Kli Yakar. And the Kli Yakar offers an entirely different shot in what's going on over here. Let's read the Kli Yoker inside. It's, you'll see it's put, it's a Roman numeral number 2. You have that? Says the Kli Yoker, Omnam lo totzi ha'aretz b'shishis ela k'midas kol shana. The Aretz is going to produce on this, in the 60th year, how much?
The normal.
Exactly, the normal produce. There's not going to be any difference between what you'll get in the 60th year than what you'll get in any year. Vavtochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asisa v'asasa es tvuas es atvuol l'shol l'shonim hainu sheyochal kima. Who can tell me what the word kima means? A little bit. V'yizbarach ha'ochel b'mei ehem. In other words, the bracha is not chal on the land and its capacity to produce, its volume. We're not talking about kamus here, but rather we're talking about the quality of the food in your belly. And that which, not, let's say in a normal case, you need to, let's say if you eat 3 meals a day, and you can eat a loaf of bread at each meal. Okay, let's just sabder to ozen, as we say, right? So how much bread are you going to have to eat on the 6th year of the Shemitah cycle? Instead of 3 loaves of bread, you only have to eat 1 loaf of bread. Now you're left over with 2 loaves. And those 2 loaves will last you for the 7th and 8th year. See, do you see the Kli Yoker? It's a brilliant chav. He says, Sheyochlu kima v'yizborecha ochel b'meyehem nimtza ki klal Yisrael nitba. What we demanded by this pasuk, this parash of Shemitah, l'vtoch b'Hashem b'midas b'tochen kazu shekamus tvua maspekes b'derech hatev l'shona achas taspik b'shona b'shnas ha-shemitah l'shona l'shona. Wow. So now we have a new twist in what we call Midat HaBitachon, reliance in Almighty God. And what is the reliance in God now? Is it, as the Ramban would have it, that by the end of the harvest of the 6th year, I'm calm and I'm secure, I'm covered for the 7th and 8th year? No. I'm in a very nervous state. Because on how if we look at the clock, how often do I have to pray to Hashem that this blessing that He promised us will come to fruition? According to the Ramban, it's only for the 6th year. According to the Kli Yoker, how often is it?
In the 7th as well.
What did he say?
Wait,
1 second. No, I'm just give me 1 second. I just want it, and then you the floor is yours. I'm not losing.
6 year, 7 year.
Yeah, every minute of every day, or let's say at least every meal of every day, for 3 years, you got to hope that Hashem's blessing would come forward, and the food that's in your belly will satiate you, even though it's 1/3 of the kamus, of the volume that it would normally take to feel satiated. I mean, it's an unbelievable mida bitachon, says the Kli Yoker. According to Ramban, well, I don't know exactly why we're asking the 7th year Mainochal, because the silos are full, but be that as it may, according to Ramban, once we pass the 6th year, we can go to sleep calmly at night. In Yiddish we call that Ruyik, I don't know if you're familiar, Ruyik, you know, he's calm at night, for the next 2 years, because the silos are full. It's like, you know, the United States of America, I don't know today, but at least classically, this is what created the whole problem with Chadash, had silo fulls that the Baruch Hashem, the Midwestern states, you know, were producing so much grain that there was an over, there was a surplus of grains that were stored in silos, and then the Soviet Union at that time, I'm dating myself, right? The Soviet Union, that's before you were born, right? Okay, so the Soviet Union didn't have enough grains, so what did they do? They bought grains from the United States. I don't know what currency they used, because nobody wanted the Russian ruble. But, you know, you needed more rubles than there were grains in the silo, you have to buy it. But whatever it was, maybe they had good bank, you know, bank guarantees. And what happened was, the United States was then selling all its surplus wheat to the Soviet Union. So the silos started getting depleting, in which the new crop was being used and marketed in the United States. That's when Chadash became a problem. probably back in the 70s or maybe a little bit earlier, maybe in the 60s, around that time.
Now domestic consumption creates the problem.
Because the people are eating so much. Yeah, no, you wanted to ask something. Yeah, sure, it's a mitzvah.
You don't have any leftover anyways, you don't have to eat
some. Ooh. That's an interesting question. You mean, what do you do with leftover Shemitah food? You know, you basically have to find a way of storing it, because Shemitah food is liochla. It's not lehefsed. You know, there's what's called kedusha shviyas, and since the peros have kedusha, you have to make sure that you eat it b'kedushasam b'tarasam, and you shouldn't be throwing it out. That's why if any of you have been in Eretz Yisrael during a Shemitah year, or actually more likely during the year after Shemitah, you know, that's when, you know, they have these little bags where you put the peels and everything. You've seen it, you know, and all that. So that you don't actively throw out something that's Royal Achilles Kelev even, you know, and so forth and so on. But anyway, let's just summarize the Machlokas now between the Ramban and the Kli Yakar. What exactly is the Torah, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu promising Shomrei Shviyas, those of us who observe Shviyas? According to Ramban, what's going to happen in the sixth year? We have the produce for 3 years, because he's also covering the Yovel situation. And according to the Kli Yakar, you can have exactly the same volume of produce in the sixth year as you do in any other year, but Yisbarech HaMazon B'me'ehem, and therefore that food that would normally last for 1 year will last for 3 full years. And now we get to the question of the Mefarshim. This is number 3, and we're not moving as fast as I hope we would, but because I want to get to the punchline, Ma'inyan Shmitei Tzar Sinai. But the Mefarshim asked the following question. This parsha that we read, Vayikra Chaf Hei Chaf, 25:20, supervision, is a very difficult parsha. Because I don't have to even wake you up in the middle of your sleep for me to give you the answer as to whether the Torah is very verbose in its language or very restricted in its language. The principle that we have with regard to interpreting the Torah is how many extra letters are there in the Torah? None. And yet, the Torah went out of its way to ask Manochal Bishana Hashvias. Those are 4 extra words. There's no need to ask the question, because the question is totally irrelevant once I have the answer. What is the answer to Manochal Bishana Hashvias? Vitzi VCS Birchasi. Why did the Torah just tell me Vitzi VCS Birchasi? And I would know the answer to the question Manochal Bishana Hashvias. So in a Musa Sefer, which I don't know if you're familiar with, called Lev Elio. Anybody know who wrote Lev Elio? Lev Elio Lapian. My brother Shlita was a Talmud in his yeshiva in Kfar Sidon when he was Mashkia. So in Lev Elio, he says, take a look at number 4 on your page. Hachi kamakra. This is what the Torah wants to say. Im tivtechu b'Hashem yizbarach, if you'll have total bitachon, v'lo tishalu manochal b'shana shviyas, you'll understand that if God commanded you to observe the Shemitah, then it means He'll take care of you. If you rely on God, az v'nasna ha'aretz piriyah. Let's go back to Pasuk Yutes. V'nasna ha'aretz piriyah. Says Rev Elio, what's v'nasna ha'aretz piriyah? Hainu karagil kichol ashana. The afal picha in the end of Pasuk Yutes, and it says v'achaltem lasova. Why l'chaltem lasova? Ki tochlu kima umisbarech hamazon b'me'ehem. What does that sound like? The Kli Yakar. Except this is in the case. You see the difference between Rev Elio and the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is saying that's in the Teretz. V'tzivisias b'chasli. That yisbarach ha'ochel b'me'ehem. According to Rev Elio Lepian, that's the kasha of Manochal B'Shana Shviyas. If not for the fact that we asked the question, if we had total reliance on Hashem, then we would have Yisbarech HaMazon B'Me'ehem. The sixth year would produce exactly what it produced on any other year. But the Baal, since you went ahead and you didn't have Bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you asked the question, what? Manochal B'Shana Shviyas. You know what's going to happen then? then God is promising you that in the sixth year, you will have produce for the extra years. So in other words, without the question, if we don't ask the question, we have total bitachon, then the miracle will be the Kli Yakar's miracle. Now that we ask the question, we didn't have bitachon, then what's the miracle going to be? The Ramban's miracle. That the sixth year is going to produce for the seventh and eighth year. So did we go up in Madrega by asking this question, or we went down in Madrega? We went down in Madrega by asking the question. We were lacking in bitachon. Why is the second scenario, meaning the Ramban's explanation of Vitzivisias Perchasi, why is that a darga lower than the Kli Yakar's understanding of the bracha? Why is it that when instead of being zocha to have a bracha b'me'ehem, we'll call it b'eichus, instead we have the bracha b'kamus, because we're going to have the sixth year producing three times the volume of, you know, why is that considered less of a miracle?
You need something which is near la'ayin. You don't rely on the bitachon which is shaloka derech hateva, which is samui min ha'ayin. So you still deserve the bracha, but kefi, the bitachon that you applied to.
But I'm asking, why is the bracha inferior? Why is it the chos daga?
Because you needed a gili dika reassurance. I'll give you a gili dika reassurance. The nister dika reassurance is a higher madrigal.
So you don't want to say like Erval, you're okay. The truth is that maybe your answer is better than his. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Wait, I'm not 100% sure. This is not Revel Yosel. We're talking about Revel Yosel and Plan. But what I mean to say is that we're not 100% sure which miracle is more goluy. You're saying which miracle is more goluy? The fact that the produce of the land, because the other one is inside your belly. You mean to say. But yet, you know, every meal I know that I didn't eat more than one third of what I normally eat, so that's also goalie. I don't know. But what is Rav Lipyan's answer? Does anybody?
One shot versus many.
Speak a little drop louder.
Because in the case of if there's more food, then you just food, then it's just more of a one shot thing.
Yeah.
Just rely on Hashem's talking. Just pray for Hashem to help you for one time, and then that's it. You know what you need.
Okay. So on both sides, I would. Let me just tell you this, and I have to ask Mechila. I just want to analyze Rav Elio's answer. I don't know if you saw it. That's why I gave out this page. And after the shiur, I'd love to go through all your answers, but let me just because we have 10 minutes till Meyer, let me just study Rav Yaplan's answer. He says an interesting answer. I'm asking for Mechila again. Right? Says Rav Lipyan, take a look. He says that which miracle will require you to do more work? Which miracle will require a greater amount of tircha? The Ramban, because what happens in the sixth year? You now have produce for 3 years. That's a vast volume of grains. What are you going to have to do with those grains? So the Rav Eliyahu plan gets very dramatic. He says you're going to have to bring wagons and wagons and wagons to gather in the produce. And then what do you do with all this produce? You've got to store it in silos, and you've got to bring it out. It's a ganze business. Says Rav Lipyan, the bracha for bitachon, the schar for bitachon, is not only sustenance, but it's also, listen carefully, expansion of limud haTorah. In which scenario do you expand your limud haTorah? You expand it in the Kli Yakar's model, because then you're doing the same amount of work in the sixth year that you would do in any year. The seventh year and the eighth year, you're doing almost no work at all. You're not gathering, you're not harvesting, you're not putting it in silos, you don't have to bring the wagons. The same volume of produce in the sixth year is what you'd have in any other year. So what do you do with your spare time? You dedicate it to Torah study. He who relies on Hashem, doesn't ask any questions, will be rewarded not just with physical sustenance, but with the availability of time to dedicate to Torah study. Once you get to the point where you're questioning Manochal B'shana Shvius, then you drop a Madrega to the level of the scenario of the Ramban. You're stuck with produce that is absolutely vast, it's going to take you ages to do what you have to do, and all that time is stolen from Libra Torah. Now, there's another answer to the same question as to why the Torah had to bother with the Chinochal. What does it say again? V'chitomru manocha v'shana shviyas, and that's the answer of the Chassidim. You know, Rav Lapian more or less represents the Litvakas, and then we have the Chassidim represented in this case by the Rebbe Zusha. You heard of the Rebbe Zusha? Do you know who his brother was? Right, the Noam Elimelech. So the Noam Elimelech, who's Rav Zusha's brother, quotes Rav Zusha on this very issue, and this you'll see on page 2. And trust me, I don't have a Noam Elimelech. I mean, I have a Noam Elimelech, but not the Noam Elimelech. Right? There are only 5 of them in the world. If I had the Noam Elimelech, I'd be very wealthy, by the way. So, the Rav Zusha has a Hasidish mystical concept here, according to which, in the original Bria, in the original plan of divine creation, there's what's called Sinoros. There are pipelines from above, from the heavens, of Shefa, of benevolence, that flows down to this earth. And there's no reason why those pipelines should be stopped, should be plugged up or clogged. What clogs up the Shefa? Lack of bitachon. So really, when the Jews come forward, Chas v'Shalom, and they say, Manochal b'shon ha-shvius, and they indicate that they don't have bitachon, as a result, boom. What should happen is the Shefa should, Chas v'Shalom, stop from Shemayim. Now, in order for Hashem to bless the Jewish people, after they ask the question and reveal the level of lack of bitachon, God has to recreate the world. And that's what the Noam Elimelech says, that what you've done to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by asking this question, is that you forced me into this great tircha, kaviyachol, of having to recreate a new world with a new source of shefa, because your lack of bitachon has in effect severed the original shefa of the Maaseh Brit. But with this in mind, I would like to go on to number 6 on page 2. And that's a stira which all of the Mefarshim raise between a Gemara in Shabbos and a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Shabbos says that what's the first question they'll ask us? We all said, love Allah, when we come up for judgment. Oh, so that's Gemara in Sanhedrin. But if you take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos, you have it in the middle of page 2. B'shashemachnisim adam l'din omrim lo, what's the first question? Nasata v'natata v'emunah. Okay, we have to see what the word emunah is, but according to the vast majority of Mefarshim, emunah means that you were straight in your business, you were honest, you never tried to take something that wasn't yours. And then we're ready for the second question. Kavata itim what Torah? But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on the other hand, Omer Rav Hamnuna, Ein tchilas dino shalodim el al divrei Torah. Rashi says, Shalo asak b'Torah. That's the first din. Esek haTorah, did you dedicate yourself to the study of Torah? So what do we do here? Is it the first question, Asatav and Asatav Emunah, which deals with business relationships and business ethics? Or is it Esek haTorah, and we get two different vibes from the two different sugyas? So the Eliyahu Rabbah in Or Chaim gives the answer. He says, in Eino Nosein V'Nosein Be'Emunah, he says these two questions are related to each other. What we really want to get to is the question about Talmud Torah. But first we got to find out if you're a candidate for Talmud Torah. Because if you weren't Nosei V'Nosei Be'Emunah, the Gemara says that your Torah study is a Chil Hashem. If you're not honest in business, you try to take from others that which is not yours, it's not coming to you, then in that case, halavai, it would be better that you didn't learn any Torah. Every Torah that you learn, and people point and they say, oh, there's a person who learns Torah, look how he's dishonest in business, that's a chil Hashem, because he's learning Torah. It would be better if he wasn't learning Torah. So therefore the two questions are related. But there's another teretz from the Divrei Yoel. Do we have any chassidim here from Williamsburg? No? Well, nobody's willing to admit it. What's going on here? All of a sudden, everyone's quiet. I mean, where's the Hasidic club here? So the Divrei Yoel, the Rebbe says the following. Two questions are coming ka'achas, as one. What? Because when we ask a person if he was no save and no sane ba'amuna, the word emuna does not mean honesty in business. Emuna means what? Give me an English word for emuna. Faith. Emuna means faith. When you were involved in business, did you have faith in God? Says the Divrei Yoel something fascinating. When a person comes up on high and we're going to ask him, Kavata Yitun with Torah, what's his excuse? What's the classical excuse to be matzdik yourself why you didn't dedicate any time to Torah study? Because you got your degree, and then you went on for your graduate degree, and then you finally landed a job, and then you're working yom for a while. You get up in the morning, you do backbreaking work, you come at night home, and you're kaput. You don't have even a breath of air left to you. So what do? Not learning. You're not staggering away in the basement. But if you would have had nasatov and nasatov be'emuna, if you would only realize that God provides for you. That's the emuna here. And not only does God provide for you, in no way will your dedication to learning be gorea, reduce the amount of shefa and broch and parnosa that you get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person dedicates time to learning, he's guaranteed that time for learning will in no way reduce the amount of bracha that he's going to get and parnasa that he's going to get. Hashem will take care of him if he only has the midah bitachon, represented by Shemitah. Then he's ready for kavat itim l'torah. The two questions, says the Divrei Yoel, are really one question and the same. Lo yiksha stira samamarim, if you're counting four lines up from the bottom of page 2. Shebeem es tchilas dino shal adam, al divrei Torah. Umash sholem also nasatav and nasatav emuna. Sheilazui gamken al divrei Torah. Did you have emuna in your involvement in parnasa? Did you realize that by involving yourself in parnasa, you still have the ability to be dedicated to Torah study, and there will be no chisaron in your parnasa? If he tells you nasata venatati be'emuna, if he really argues about himself in self-defense that he was a mamin, then he won't be able to answer to the question kavati itim la'Torah. I'm sorry, Rabbi. Sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was too busy to have time for Torah. He's got plenty of time for Torah because he's guaranteed with that emuna that Hashem will provide for him. Okay, I guess we'll take a break now for Myriv. And I didn't get a chance to swing back to the original question, but maybe we'll do that afterwards.
Maybe it doesn't want to violate copyright, or?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It was very difficult for me, and I apologize, to cut and paste everything. Some people are very good at that. I didn't have enough time. For me to get through every source and cut it and paste it together, I felt it would be easier for me just to write it out. And while I was writing it out, I was chazering, I was reviewing in my mind what I wanted to say. So that was easier for me than... So again, I apologize. In the future, I'd like to...
No.
But none of these sources are in Bar Ilan, so I had to...
Not the Ramban?
Except for the Ramban. That would be the only one. But that's only one out of how many sources do we have on the page?
Okay.
Right. That's not even 10% of what I wanted to cover with you tonight. Okay? Now the question is... We're beginning to see a very close relationship between two dimensions. One dimension is bitachon, and the other dimension is emuna. Meaning emuna in the sense that I believe, I have total faith, that which is coming to me is coming to me, that which is coming to you is coming to you. There's no need for me to overstep the bounds, to violate gzela and take from you and embezzle and cheat. That, all that goes, dissipates. There's no taiva, there's no yetzahara, there's nothing drawing me to want to take that which is yours. If I have the emuna that which is coming to me, the parnosa that's meant for me is going to come, and I will receive it one way or the other. There's no need, there's no temptation for me. You see, gzela and all sorts of oshek and sheker and embezzlement, this is all a result of my desire to take from you that which is yours, because I have a chemda, I have a taiva, I have a desire which I can't control, so I try to cheat you and take it from me. If I would only realize that at the end of the day what I was meant to get, I will get. And I'll end up with exactly the same. The gzeila is not going to help me anything. What's yours is yours, what's mine is mine, and it's all divvied out by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by heaven. There'll be no temptation to want to steal something. So chemda is absolutely antithetical to bitachon. And bitachon undermines chemda. And that's why I think Shemitah is so central and is the paradigm of all mitzvahs. Because what's inherent in Shemitah, as we discussed, especially according to the Kli Yakar, where my training in Midas HaBitachon during Shemitah is daily. It's an ongoing training. Every day I have to see that Hashem, you're bestowing your miracle upon me. I'm able to eat a third of what I have to eat on under the laws of Teva. That meat of Bitachon, as it's built up, is going to be the essence of what Shemitah is all about. And every 7 years we need a new injection of Bitachon through that training period, that experience of Shemitah. Once we have it, then this gives us the ability to overcome any chemda. I would say not even to overcome chemda, but chemda is no longer an issue. And that's what Har Sinai is all about. Har Sinai, Chazal tell us, is Paska Zuhamasam. All the taiva and the chemda that was injected by the Nochash HaKadmoni at the time of the Chait, all that is completely gone at the time of Har Sinai. So that's why I think Shemitah is connected to Har Sinai. Because Shemitah represents that training in the Midah Bitachon, in which I no longer live this gashmiistic perspective on life, in which I got to get more and more. I live rather in a level of bitachon, of nasata v'nasata be'emunah. Yours is yours and mine is mine. And God will take care of me, He'll provide for me. And I can dedicate myself to Torah study and balance that with my parnasa without losing anything in terms of parnasa. That's the hashkafa of Shemitah. And when that hashkafa penetrates into our very being, that's when we are sure and guaranteed that we've overcome any temptation towards chemda, and we've achieved Har Sinai. Har Sinai is meant to completely dissipate and remove any level of chemda, of gashmius. When we live on that spiritual level, appreciating Almighty God in a heavenly spiritual sphere, then we know that we will live a life of bitachon, we'll rely on Hashem to provide for us, we'll never want to be tempted to steal anything that's not coming to us. And Yirotzo Mevizochen, this Shavuos that's coming up in a week, to the Kabbalah Satorah and the Midas HaBitachon, that will project us to become those who are Makari Shem Shemayim, those who are Oskim and dedicated to Torah study. Kei Yiratzon Amen.